teacher pay is one of many contentious issues in the world of education. In Wisconsin, Governor Scott Walker's collective bargaining reforms have changed the landscape when it comes to teachers and compensation.
A Milwaukee Journal Sentinel special report shows that since Act 10, school districts are taking a more private sector approach to paying teachers that includes administrators linking teacher pay to skill and performance instead of seniority.
Our next guest and his colleagues researched the impact of this kind of merit pay and found that, if done right, it can have a positive impact on student performance. Matthew Springer joins us now. He's an assistant professor of public policy and education at Vanderbilt University. Matthew, welcome to Central Time.
Well, Rob, thank you for having me on today.
We'll dig into the details and finer points, but big picture, what were your main findings when it comes to merit pay for teachers?
Well, our main finding overall, and this is looking across the known 44 studies that we were able to locate, is really that merit pay had a significant impact on student test scores. When we're looking at all the studies, including studies outside the United States, we equated that the test score gain was roughly equivalent to about 4 additional weeks of learning. When we look at studies just within the United States, we see a gain of about 3 additional weeks of learning.
Now let's get into some of the details. Now, what do we mean by merit pay? How does that tend to work in a school district?
Yeah, so in this instance, we're considering a merit pay program, any program that rewards a teacher based upon their performance, and that would be based upon compensation.
And this is where it can get kind of controversial. What kind of metrics are used when evaluating teachers to decide their pay? What kind of things do you see out there when it comes to implementing this?
Yeah, so we're seeing programs that are using kind of a more holistic approach these days. That includes a student test score measure. It may include multiple classroom observations. It may include feedback from parents or students, as well as some additional metrics at the school level or potentially at the team level, like a grade level team or possibly a departmental team.
And how do you tease out the impact of merit pay in particular from one school district to the next? Merit pay could be an indicator of wider attitudes or changes or innovations within a district or commitment to spending, things like that. It might be a marker, maybe, and not the cause of the changes you see.
Yeah, so in this particular study, which is actually called a meta-analysis, mm-hmm. and what a meta-analysis is a quantitative way to combine the different effects across all the known studies that we're able to locate. And so we focus exclusively on student test scores, and this is largely based because of the theory of incentive pay within the literature. And one of the theories suggests that there's going to be a motivational effect, and that is teachers are going to approach their job differently, they may try different instructional strategies, and as a result, test scores may increase. The second theory that we really look at within the literature is what we call the compositional effect, and that is those teachers who are most likely to be rewarded under a particular merit pay system are those who are most likely to stay within the profession, as well as those who are most likely to be recruited in. We would also assume that if a teacher does not receive a bonus, it may send a strong signal, as in they need to try different instructional strategies, improve their performance, or that they might exit the system altogether. And in this particular study, we focused not on that compositional component, but we focused solely on the student test score outcomes.
And did you try to tease out the causality here? Merit pay comes into effect. It changes the teacher performance. Ultimately, test scores increase. What could be happening, you know, in a classroom that is making that connection?
Yeah, so I think in the different instances, we may see that teachers are trying the different instructional practices. They may be collaborating more often together. They may be more likely to pursue a different type of professional development or instructional coaching that's going to improve their practice. And to get to the cause question, right, we look at what we believe are the most rigorous studies using the rigorous research design that is going to let us infer causality. And in those studies, we see that the effect persists. So when we begin to rank the studies by the quality of their research design, we still see that there's that relationship between the merit pay program and those test score gains.
Talking to Matthew Springer from Vanderbilt University, looking at research he and his colleagues did on the impact of merit pay. Merit pay done right can lead to, it looks like, a decent increases in test scores for kids. And I use that phrase, if done right, Matthew. You and your colleagues found differences between a couple different ways of approaching merit pay for teachers. What are the differences and what seems to work better?
We actually found that incentive pay systems that were based on some sort of team component, and that may be a reward based upon a grade level team, as I said earlier, those tended to be more effective. But I also want to highlight one important note here, and that is that, you know, we're based on relatively few studies when we get down to the different program features and the design of these programs. I'll also say anecdotally that, you know, merit pay has had a very rocky history within the U.S. education, public education system over many, many decades. And we do know that for these programs to be implemented effectively, we need broad-based stakeholder buy-in. We need the teacher associations working together with the school district personnel, researchers evaluating the program to see what's working, what might not be working, and how to make things better. And oftentimes, these programs have been short-lived because they're implemented from a top-down mandate where a superintendent of a school system says, I want a merit pay program, let's implement it. But we also know nationally that the turnover rate of superintendents is around 2.5 years, and the programs tend to disappear as they move on.
Yeah, one objection, you mentioned some of the controversy around merit pay. One objection is that what happens in a classroom from year to year may depend on variables beyond a teacher's control. One teacher or one grade might have more difficult students, say, students coming in with learning problems that are beyond a teacher's control in some way. How does that get compensated for in designing a merit pay system?
Yes, and these are really important factors that we begin to take into consideration. And while I say we can't just pinpoint one type of incentive pay system that's going to work everywhere, we really have to be responsive to what the teacher labor market's like, what the working conditions are like, and what the realities of a particular school may be. And we do have developments in terms of measuring teacher value added, in terms of classroom observation protocols, in terms of alternative measures that we can all bring together into a single package in order that we can reduce some of these other outside influences on the way in which we evaluate teachers.
And then some object, and there's almost a resistance movement to standardized testing in the country, the idea being that if we evaluate schools, districts, and teachers in particular on standardized test scores, then teachers will be forced to teach to the test, is the phrase, that maybe we're not teaching kids valuable skills, we're teaching them to be better at taking standardized tests.
Absolutely, Rob. I think this is an important point that everyone takes into consideration, and that is, you know, the results from a standardized test occur at one point in time throughout a 180-day academic year. And this is really why when I'm on more of the program development side and working with policymakers and practitioners, I really think it's important that we use multiple measures in order to evaluate teacher performance and not just design systems that are solely based upon a test score. In fact, in some of my earlier work in Nashville, Tennessee, as well as Round Rock, Texas, is we based bonuses in an experimental setting solely on a value-added measure of teacher performance. And in those instances, we did not find a positive effect. And so I think that's important that we take these lessons into consideration.
Yeah, value-added is a catchphrase I keep seeing a lot when it comes to education. Talk about what that means and how it fits into the merit pay issue.
Really, generally, what we're talking about here is we want to see what a teacher's contribution is to student learning beyond what we would have expected that student's gains to be. If a student gains beyond what we would have expected them to gain, we consider that to be added value that we attribute to a teacher.
So are you talking just in terms of student test scores then, the teacher's impact on that, or other measures as well when it comes to value added?
Yeah, typically when we're talking about value added, we're talking about a test score measure, yes.
Do you look at things like grades or passing into the next level or other things beyond standardized test score when measuring that?
I think these are all important measures to take into consideration. I think grades can oftentimes be very subjective, and a teacher may have direct control over what grades a student receives, and as a result, they can kind of dictate whether they're going to receive a bonus or not. However, if we develop independent, maybe student learning objectives, or we have outside observers come in and observe a teacher's classroom 5, 7, 10 times a year, these are more likely going to be not only measures that would be valuable from a evaluation standpoint, but also from a formative standpoint. How might a teacher approach their job differently in order to improve their practice within the classroom?
This has been a controversial issue, merit pay, here in the United States. You also look around the world for points of comparison. What kind of lessons can we learn from what other countries have done in their educational systems?
Yeah, so for the studies that occur outside the United States, most of which occur within developing nations, it is difficult to equate the context, right? In the United States, we have, at least from the past, with No Child Left Behind, we had stronger accountability systems. There's different pressures within the system. But in terms of lessons learned, particularly from the research, and you touched upon some of this, Rob, is what are these unintended consequences of a merit pay system? And that may be a teacher teaching to the test, focusing exclusively on the test score. That may be systematic behavior or opportunistic behavior in terms of systematic cheating on the test in order to increase the likelihood of receiving a bonus. So while our general finding is that, yes, we do seem to suggest that within the United States, there's about 3 additional weeks of learning for those students being taught by a teacher who was eligible for a merit pay system, I also want to make sure everyone's aware that a lot of thought does need to go into the design, the implementation, and the monitoring of these systems to avoid these unintended outcomes.
We'll talk about that a little more as we talk to Matthew Springer, Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Education at Vanderbilt University. We're looking at a study he co-authored that found that teacher pay based on performance, merit pay, can be good for student performance.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. What do you think of teacher merit pay? Are you a teacher or school administrator yourself? Tell us if you think paying teachers based on test scores or other metrics is ultimately good for student achievements and teacher retention. Do you think that teacher pay should be based on seniority and experience? Call us at 800-642-1234.
We continue our conversation now with Matthew Springer, Assistant Professor of Public Policy and Education at Vanderbilt University. We're looking at a report that says paying teachers based on performance can be good for student test scores.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you think that taking a private sector approach like paying teachers based on student achievement is good for education? Do you have a student that attends a school that uses a merit pay scale, and do you think it helps student achievement? If you're a teacher or a school administrator, tell us how you think merit pay affects public school employees. You can call us at 800-642-1234.
And we'll go to our callers. Catherine joins us in Milwaukee. Catherine, hi.
Yes, I've been a teacher for over 16 years, and I've been through many different kinds of types of payment systems. And with the merit pay, my fear is that, and I've seen it, that, you know, people who are friends with administrators tend to receive other types of benefits in the school system. And with merit pay, just as you say, teachers may possibly give students better grades and scores. That also happens with the staff, where if you're friends with administrators, you perform better on paper.
Catherine, thanks for the call. And Matthew, that's a concern I've heard raised, that this could be arbitrary. An administrator could give better merit pay evaluations to teachers they like than those they don't.
I think that's absolutely right. It could happen. But I also want to take a broader perspective to answer this particular question, and that's during the 2012-13 school year, and this is the most recent year for which we have national data on school spending. We know that public schools in the United States spent roughly $210 billion on teacher salaries. That accounts to about 60% of all operational expenditures. The primary determinants in which teachers were paid was based upon years of experience and degree held. Yet we know that years of experience and degree held has not a very strong correlation, almost no correlation, to student outcomes. And if in a system where we're going to spend that much money, there might be a more effective way. And while I'm very concerned about these issues of gaming the system or ways in which cheating may occur to favor somebody over another person, I also think that we can find a more effective way to allocate this much money.
Thanks for your call. We'll go next to Jim in Rice Lake. Jim, hi.
I think we can draw it out. Wisconsin, I'm a state employee. I'm an attorney, and we've gone to merit pay in the state. And what happens with merit pay when you don't have, for example, union bargain contracts is what's called unfunded payment. For example, that they have a ladder for progression of attorneys based on performance, but they don't fund it, so no one gets any pay increase. As a result, in this state, very critical positions, such as assistant district attorneys, are resigning en masse because they're not getting adequate pay to compensate for their skill levels. They go, they stay a couple of years, and they go into private practice. Especially with the restrictions that Scott Walker has placed on school districts in terms of raising revenue, when you have an unfunded mandate, you theoretically have merit pay, but in fact you have very little increase in pay at all, which results in a race to the bottom. And I think people are seeing that people getting education degrees in Wisconsin are increasingly going to Minnesota, where there's better pay and better benefits.
Jim, thanks for the call. Matthew, is this a concern in schools that a merit pay structure might be in place, but the money isn't necessarily there to back it up?
Yes, we have to make sure the money's there. I mean, if a program is going to be effective or even have a chance of being effective, that money needs to be present. And unless we can guarantee the money is going to be there in the long term, you would think automatically that that incentive, the power of that incentive, is going to be taken away.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Matthew Springer from Vanderbilt University, looking at his research on merit pay for teachers, merit pay in schools, the impact it has on student performance. If done right, he says the research shows it actually has a pretty good impact on student performance. And Matthew, you've mentioned earlier, that supervisor who comes in or the administrator who comes in and wants to bring in merit pay because it's the thing to do and may be there for a couple of years and then leave, and then the system kind of languishes. You've talked about a lot of pitfalls that can go wrong. So what is the way for a district, a system, to come in and do it right from the beginning?
It's a fantastic question, Rob. And I think to do it right from the beginning, you need two things. One is you need the resources. And you need to put those resources in place for the long term. And two, you need a comprehensive package. It just can't be an add-on to an existing compensation system. We really need to work with a broad set of stakeholders and put a comprehensive reform in place and then give it plenty of time to take place. I think in that instance, and if it's well planned out, you would see not only what we consider that motivational effect, but you also see that compositional effect. And no longer will we see those teachers leaving Wisconsin for Minnesota.
Back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kay is with us in Manitowish Waters. Kay, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Kay?
Well, I'm a retired teacher. I taught for 30 years, both in Mississippi and Wisconsin. And I found the most important thing for me as a teacher to be an effective and really good teacher was, one, I became a National Board Certified Teacher, and two, furthering my education among other great educators. And I didn't hear that in your formula for merit pay.
Furthering your education among other, what did you mean by that, Kay?
Well, when I did my national board, we had a program where we got together with really highly motivated history teachers across the state, and that working together with people from outside your district as well as inside your district was incredible. But also the national board certification process was incredible in understanding what teaching was all about and what new ideas you could bring into the classroom.
Okay, thanks a lot for bringing those up, Matthew. You talked about that master's degree as a source of the pay scale maybe not being a great indicator of student performance. What about things like these other certifications or getting trained by highly respected, motivated teachers from other districts?
Yes, and I think the prior research has shown that the National Board is associated with more effective teachers in certain instances, and I think it's fantastic for teachers to pursue. The one concern I do have is that oftentimes school districts will provide teachers a permanent pay bump for earning those types of certifications. And I think really to be most efficient with limited dollars in times of scarce resources, as well as the power of these incentive programs, would not to be make it a permanent pay bump. I also, though, wholeheartedly agree that these, when I'm talking about a comprehensive program, is you also need the professional learning opportunities packaged in with these systems. It's just not compensation alone that's going to change it. We also want to make sure that we have the professional development and learning opportunities available to teachers as well.
Kay, thanks for the call. Matthew, as we start to wind down, you mentioned that this has been a controversial issue for a number of years here, but do we see the trend turning toward merit pay in more and more schools?
I do see more and more schools implementing merit pay programs, and I think since about 2002, the federal government has funded well over $2 billion worth of incentive pay programs. I'm hoping, though, that we can take a much more systematic approach, a much more disciplined approach, a much more principled approach into putting these programs into place. And Rob, the way, as we close out here, I really want to put it is let's imagine for the moment that you weren't the talk show host. Let's imagine for the moment that you're the innovator and you develop the next it thing. And you came to a meeting with a bunch of potential funders. If you told those funders that the way you wanted to compensate those employees, the individuals in your firm that hold really the key to success in a way that has nothing to do with how well the it thing is produced or how well your firm outcomes are going to be determined, I think most of those people would laugh. And I think right now the way in which we compensate employees in the education system doesn't have enough to do with the outcomes we're trying to produce. And we really need to move to a system where our best and brightest educators receive a six-figure salary. And unfortunately, with a single salary schedule in place today, we'll never get there.
We'll leave it there. Matthew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me and have a great day.
We've been talking to Matthew Springer, assistant professor of public policy and education at Vanderbilt University.